Welcome to Mayfield Baptist Church. We are very excited to have you with us here. We do encourage you to follow us on our social media, which you can access through our website at mayfieldbaptist.com. Please feel free to like and subscribe to this podcast to keep you up to date with our latest messages. We do hope you enjoy this recent message from MBC, that it may help you connect to God, grow in your faith, and serve in your own context. All right, let's get into it. I've got a bit of a message I just want to share, just some thoughts to continue on our conversation. Now, I've been really keen to continue on this idea of what the five solas. Last month we would have looked at through Romans 3, sola gratia, grace alone. The fortnight before, I talked about Christ alone, and that's very much the focus of what night service is about, is Christ alone, keeping Jesus at the center of what we do. And so to continue on this, tonight I'm going to talk about sola fide, which Martin Luther came up with, those five solas, and there's a picture of the five solas. It's an orange background. There we go. And so I'll describe what I've gotten from the understanding of this. So Scripture alone is the inerrant, sufficient, and authority of God to the church, which reveals Jesus our Lord as the Savior of mankind. Only through faith in him can we be given the gracious gift of salvation and reconciliation to the Father for the ultimate glory of God alone. That's my summary of the five solas. If you want to hear about why he talked about that, you can listen to that conversation from a few weeks ago. So understanding salvation, right? As a Christian, salvation is a very important part of what we believe, that Jesus died on a cross for all mankind to justify us of the sin that we so easily do. And remember that sin is opposition to God. To make an easy, simple understanding of what sin is, it's doing my thing over God's thing. And so anything we do that is opposing what God says in his word is then a sin. And so when Jesus came and died and was resurrected, he paid the price for our sin, if we believe in him. And so when we talk about sola fide, when we talk about faith alone, it means that we believe in him. That is only through believing and having faith in him. I'm going to read Ephesians, and I want to have a thought process tonight around this concept. So Ephesians 1, it will be up there for you if you would like. So Ephesians 1, I'm using the NIV tonight. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritually blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 2:1-10, the next chapter. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. His credit is anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So let's talk about faith. And I want to sort of preempt it. I didn't write it, but I feel like I probably should say it. When we talked about Christ alone, we talked about the idea of Christ and. There was a gospel that people sometimes take on, which is not fully biblical, or the prosperity gospel. And there is a bit of an unhealthy concept there that if you don't have enough faith, that's why you're having an issue. Or if you are not getting healed, there's something wrong with you. But I want to turn that on its head from what I've been reading and understanding that actually when we talk about grace and faith, from what I read, is that faith too is a gift from God. That faith is not something we do in the same sense as we might think it. And so when we talk about faith and we look at these scriptures, that we cannot boast at all about our salvation, that God himself has given us salvation when we believed. And through that, I believe God has persuaded us in that way and given us the faith to believe fully in Christ. This is what Martin Luther says in The Freedom of a Christian. The moment you begin to have faith, you learn that all things in you are altogether blameworthy, sinful, and damnable. When you have learned this, you will know that you need Christ, who suffered and rose again for you, so that if you believe in him, you may through faith become a new man, insofar as your sins are forgiven and you are justified by the merits of another, namely Christ alone. I've been reading as well, Thomas Schreiner, a commentary on this. Pride is dampened when one recognizes that faith, the faith one has, is a gift from God, not the result of one's own virtue. The same principle applies in the relationship between believers and unbelievers. Believers are surely tempted to yield conceit since they exercise faith and unbelievers do not. But such arrogance is ruled out if it is truly grasped that faith is God's gift. And so when I said before this idea of a false gospel, the prosperity gospel, this idea that you have enough faith, well, to be honest, from what I'm reading and what I see here, it's what God gives us, and so we have no space in that. We cannot boast. We cannot boast. So what is our faith? The Greek word, and I'm always going to be careful not to say this wrong, but it's pistis. Yeah, I know. I had to say that. I had to preempt that. Okay. And from my understanding of what pistis, it says this, is always a gift from God and never something that can be produced by people. In short, pistis, or faith in Greek, for the believer is God's divine persuasion and therefore distinct from human belief. So what I'm saying is that there's not that we cannot have belief, that we cannot believe in something, that we cannot have faith in something, we cannot not have confidence in something. But there's a different sort of understanding here. that it's God's divine persuasion. And it directs us to Jesus. So what is our faith? What is our faith? The faith that God gives us directs us to Jesus, just like what Martin Luther said before, insofar as your sins are forgiven and are justified by the merits of another, namely Christ alone, that we need Jesus. What is our faith? And so I looked this up, and it's a very interesting one, just a thought pattern. Now, again, like anything, structures and things like this is used at a church over in the States. What is real? What is our worldview? Well, if our worldview is that God has given us grace and faith to believe in Christ, that is who we are. That is what is real to us. If Jesus died on a cross and we are totally persuaded that that is the truth, so that he could save mankind and he was raised again, what does that mean in other things? If that is real to us, how does that make us believe? How does that, what is our values and what is our behavior? What can I say to you that what is our faith? Well, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That our faith says that Jesus is Lord. Lily had a baptism the other week. And that is exactly what that represents, to be baptized, is to say that Jesus is Lord over my life. And so if Jesus is Lord over my life, every other thing in my life should start bowing. I know we don't. We're human. We fall short. We've talked about that. But everything else should start fading away and starting falling away, and everything starts coming into the line. We're not going to be perfect in this time. Faith is not an inward good work that takes the place of outward good works. Rather, it looks to Christ. It knows Christ and it rests in him and his righteousness for us. So Jesus is Lord. When we believe, John 3:16-18 says this, and this is a different word to pistis, very similar, but I'll read it first. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And so when we look at the Greek again, please bear with me if this is wrong, how to say it. The believing here is not pistis, but is pistio, which is similar, but not quite. And it's talking about believing, trusting, relying. Believe, used of persuading oneself and the sacred significance of being persuaded by the Lord. So there's a connection there. And so I kind of, again, I'm reading this and I want you to check your own Bibles. I want you to pray about it. I want you to think about it. I don't want to ever be the person who says, yep, this is the go. Believe this and leave, and you take it all on and go, yep, sweet, Nathan's correct. I want you to be people who reads this and understands what God actually says in this and come back to me if you say, no, I don't agree with that. And this is why. But I believe when we talk about this believe in John 3:16, that it's believing is an outworking, like a verb of pistis, this idea of faith. That I'm believing, that I'm that circle sort of idea. And if I have faith that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died on the cross, then my belief, how I outwork that, my beliefs is demonstrating that in everything I do. And so that means that I'm believing that Jesus is Lord through everything I do. And so our faith is a transforming faith. Faith that moves mountains, Matthew 17, you could look up to talk about a mustard seed of faith, God's faith. But in 1 Timothy, it says this, it's on the screen, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength. This is Paul to Timothy. that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So for our faith, what is our faith? Jesus is Lord. There's a transforming faith that we start believing and demonstrating that belief. And for it, what is our faith? It's also to see all people saved. Not everyone will be. I want to make sure that's said. But God's heart wants all to be saved, wants everyone. And so our faith is to demonstrate that. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 6. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to acknowledgement of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And then James says this. What good is it, my brothers, in chapter 2, 14 to 17? What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself is not accomplished, accompanied by actions, is dead. And what he's saying there is not the idea that we are saved by works, but our faith, the belief, if Jesus is Lord in our life, what does that mean in everything we do? How are we known, or how do we represent Christ in our daily lives? How do we represent that inner, if we believe that that's the truth, that Jesus died and was resurrected to save us from sin and bring us back to the Father, what should that do within us? And how should that be poured out on other people as well? And I love that. God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It's on them to do that as well. I want to pray and then the band will come up. I just wanted to have a little bit of a quick think around those